Welcome to the Tipsy Tennis Podcast. I'm at the Delhi Open in Delhi in India. I'm here with the winners of the Challenger event for the doubles, Matthew Romeos and Piotr Matuszewski.
Correct.
Got it. So first of all, let's start with the basic question. How does it feel to win?
It feels good. Yeah. It's not really too often you finish weeks on wins, so yeah, it's nice to finish on a win.
Yeah,
I got my first title already, second week of the year, mm-hmm. with different partner, but good that finally we got our first title together with Mats, so it's a really nice week.
And you guys have been playing like the Indian series so far, right?
Yeah, so we played the last 3 weeks together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you look for in a doubles partner?
I guess you sort of look for someone whose game style gels with yours, but also just someone that you like. Like, it's pretty easy to go out there with someone that, like, you enjoy being around, and just makes things like pretty easy, I feel like. Yeah.
I think so. If I have something good, then but something bad, I'm looking for someone that has something good that I have bad. Like, so we can, like, together be like a yin and yang. You know? So it's like this in my, but everybody looks for something different. We both serving good, we both like good at the net. He has better forehand, I have better backhand, but so we like compare, like we are together like a good team. I think so we need to win more matches, and we needed that title because like we were waiting a bit, maybe too long for that, but finally we got it.
Nice, and congrats, by the way. I was watching the match. There were two good, both of them were pretty good. I think you guys were winning more of the decisive points at the net, especially. Really quick hands. You have like the really solid two-handed volley. Just put the ball away, done, finish it off. How many tournaments have you guys played together?
Yeah, I think like 7 or 8. So we had a couple in Europe last year, just when I was over there. I was chopping and changing partners. And we teed up a couple in China last year. We had one good result of there, made a final of 100 as well. Yeah, 3 weeks here, and then yeah, hopefully we'll look to play together again for more this year.
How quickly would it take for you to move on to the next doubles partner?
What?
How long does it take for you to like say, I don't want to play doubles with this guy next?
I had like twice situation like this. To be honest, like I think so. After like first 2-3 weeks are good, but then if you need to spend a lot of time together, it's like, you know, it's like marriage a bit, mm-hmm. because you're spending every day together in the courts, at the hotel often, on the breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's like. We need to spend a lot of time together, so it's not easy. And if we don't communicate too good, then I think so, like after 1 month, maybe max 2, and then you are like, man, I cannot long hold with that guy, and I need to switch, because even if you play good, but you don't feel like that we can play better and spend time together good, I think so that's too much.
Makes sense. Who has, let me ask you this, who has the better serve?
Depends.
Yeah, it depends. Today, not me. Today, I serve pretty average.
Okay.
Like second serve, he has better. First, depends.
Yeah.
Who has better return?
Both, I think so.
Yeah. We're both pretty hot and cold, I feel like. So some days I'll be on, and some days he'll be lighting it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who has better volleys?
Matt.
Who has you already said he has the better forehand, you have the better backhand.
Yeah, but also he has good backhand, but also he's like feels better on the best line. I feel better at the net. Like if I need to play like tough volleys, like half volleys, or like that I'm in a defense position, then I have better because I feel like that is my game. But he can play more balls, good balls on the best line.
Who has more fun on court?
I want to say me.
Matthew.
Sometimes it's tough to get anything out of him. A bit of an ice man.
Yeah. So Does that carry over off court as well?
Yeah.
What's a pet peeve that you might have about the other person?
On court?
In general, with your doubles partner, with each other. Is there anything that, you know, let's get it out of the way? What's been bothering you? Therapy time.
Oh, this is...
Well, like, I'm, like, pretty, like, chill, you know. Sometimes I'm getting pissed, but if, like, referee is, like, cheating on me, so then, yeah. But usually, even if I miss, I'm, like, okay, like, next ball, and that's all.
Pet peeve. I don't really have a pet peeve with him. I've told him the stuff I hate, and I think he just makes sure he stays away from it.
Like what?
Oh, like just general stuff in practice. Like I used to have friends that would like just like throw balls to the back of the court instead of putting them in the pocket. Mm. And just like we'd be serving with like new balls and they would just grab an old ball and start serving. And I'm like, man, we've got like three newies and an oldie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, none of that here.
Yeah. what do you tell your doubles partner when, let's say, they're not having the best day? What's like a piece of advice or something motivational to get the spirits up?
Better to have tomorrow a better day, because if not, we're not playing together. No, but yeah, like I think so. We motivating each other together, mm-hmm. and I think so. Then it helps, and we are not like getting pissed off each other, because I know like one day I will serve a bit worse to return a bit better than he also on the opposite side, and it's like, you know, we are here to be like a team, to winning together, we're losing also together, so nobody wants to lose, so
I always just tell him like to keep trusting himself. Mm-hmm. Like big target and just trust yourself, and I mean like I don't really care if you miss. It's like as long as you're going for it and doing the right thing, it's like mm-hmm. eventually it's going to pay dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 50-50. Yeah. If I play good return, it's like almost over. If not, if I mistake, it's like 1 meter out, or and it's like, you know, 50-50.
What would you say is one of the most important approaches when it comes to being doubles player versus singles player?
I think for me, it really is just the team side of things. I think in singles, it's very easy to get into the mindset that it's just you. Like, everything's about you and what you're doing. And, like, I mean, like, at the end of the day, there's thousands of other tennis players out there. So, like, in doubles, like, being a team, I just feel like, yeah, like, you just have a bit different outlook on going into things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you also can have a good day, but your partner pretty shit and you're losing, you know? So, like...
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
If you're playing singles, it's everything on you. Mm-hmm. And if you're also playing doubles, you need to look for a doubles partner a lot of times, you know. Like if he wants to go somewhere, you need to like communicate with him. You also go with him somewhere, then he needs to go somewhere with you. It's like, especially if he lives in Australia, me in Poland, it's like, not so easy. He also can stay in Union Europe only 3 months per half of year. So also not helping to our team. So sometimes I need to travel, like for example here to China. Like also maybe sometimes I would prefer to stay in Europe, but I know I need to go to different continent, and that's all.
Do you ever travel to places and ever feel a culture shock? So it could be either China, here, I would say it's pretty different from Australia and EU.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of like embracing like other cultures. So like for me, traveling and playing tournaments, like you get to experience all these other cultures. So like, I actually enjoy going somewhere different, like here or China.
Mm-hmm.
I do still play it safe with food, just because you can't really risk it too much. But mm-hmm.
Belly.
Yeah, exactly.
You got food poisoning.
Yeah, so it was like two nights ago, like had dinner and then just like, out both ends. Like didn't get much sleep that night, and then next morning I was like...
How did you recover?
Oh, like I just, doctor here saved my life pretty much. He gave me like all these pills and everything to take, and they warmed up for our match yesterday, and then I just like spewed up everywhere in the bathroom, and I didn't think we were getting through yesterday, and then actually played pretty good somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was just pretty fortunate to be playing today.
It's like Michael's flu game.
Yeah. Yesterday was my flu game.
Whenever you're traveling, how important is it to have like a, or how difficult is it to stick to like a diet?
I'm not on any diet.
No, you're just whatever.
Yeah. Just
pifko, but also and pierogi and.
No, I'm not drinking. And but I also eating like twice per day, so I'm not eating too much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but also I'm not running too much because I'm playing doubles. So
do you guys play singles?
No, I probably quit singles a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, only like club matches, a few tournaments per year. I'm gonna play if I'm getting to qualifications. Or mm-hmm. 2 years ago when I was playing ITFs, I played a few singles tournament, but no, not
how, so when obviously in doubles you make like a little bit less, how are you able to be able to like sustain your professional career living half a paycheck at a time?
For example, from last year, it's better for doubles player that we, if we share the room, we can stay
expenses
like
six, are a little bit less.
Yeah, 6 days for free anyway. When because we have hospitality on tournaments, but if we lose, next day we need to check out. So we need to, if you're losing first round Tuesday, Wednesday, you need to pay for 3-4 nights,
uh-huh.
which is pretty expensive. Like around $100
mm-hmm.
for double room, but the most expensive are flights. You know, if we're losing, we need to go next day to different tournament, or we're going home. So we need to, let's say, buying tickets one day before flight, which is like also they are so expensive sometimes. I need to pay, for example, 1,000 euro to come back to Europe, and I needed to pay 1,000 euro also to came here.
Mm-hmm.
Is like here it's pretty cheap for me, but I think so for everyone, for him I think so even more. So like I don't have too many expenses here, but flights are pretty more and more expensive every year.
Flights are the killer for sure.
Yeah,
I mean you can usually eat pretty, as long as you're not going crazy, you can eat on a budget pretty well. And
mm-hmm.
you know, countries here you can eat really well for cheap. So when I'm home, I do a little bit of paid hitting and just to get by while I'm home when
mm-hmm.
there's no money coming in. But I think week to week playing events, like usually you can go week to week pretty comfortably. I feel
mm-hmm.
like, yeah.
What kind of hospitality do the tournaments usually provide? So you mentioned like you get the free accommodations
yeah.
while you're in the tournament. Once you lose, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Do they? And I'm sure they provide like transportation from to and from the hotel.
Yeah, even like to and from the airport. Like they're pretty good with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's usually a pretty big one as well. Like
accommodation with breakfast, so you need to pay only for like lunch and dinner. Water you have, like bananas, coffee express are often in the
mm-hmm.
club. So yeah, we don't have too many expensive. Plus from last year, I think so, ATV upgrade like 50% in doubles
mm-hmm.
salary prize money. So which also helps me. Like I think so, if you're losing first round, you're getting like 220 euro, which is like for one flight and food, it's enough. So
mm-hmm.
it's like not that bad. And you can, of course, I don't have a coach. I'm traveling alone, so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm 4-0. If I'm winning more, I'm a bit for plus. But it's like, let's say I have also expenses at home or something, car or whatever. And let's say I'm from 4-0. I'm not making money.
Mm-hmm.
I could make money if I would be a tennis coach much more. But for example, my brother is and he's. Earning 3 times more than me, so like
the decision you guys made to like be professional tennis players, and like it is a grind, right? I mean you guys have to love the grind. If you don't, then like, you know, teach tennis and make 3 times more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What keeps you, you know, going?
That's why like a lot of people like playing 2-3 years ITS and they not get have enough ranking to play challengers, or they losing every match on challenger, let's say, especially singles. They prefer to play prize money tournaments in, I don't know, France, Germany, or they playing club matches that they can earn a lot of money in, also Europe, Italy, France, Germany, wherever, and they making good money, or they are just sometimes gambling. Like also can happen because they don't have money, right? So it's tough because you need to pay for everything, and to travel, let's say if you 500, 600, let's say in singles, you need, if you want to travel with coach, it's like expenses are too high.
I think everyone just has that dream of playing Grand Slams and trying to make like good money out of tennis. And like for me, I just love playing and love competing. So yeah, I'll probably just keep playing until I lose that drive. But at the moment, I've still got the drive to win and drive to just compete. So that's probably a big one for me, yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't professional tennis players?
So when I was like eight, I used to always say I'd love to be a mathematician. I don't even know what that is, but that's what I used to always say. But at the moment, I actually, yeah, there's no real other passions for me outside of tennis. So I think I would like to go into probably coaching when I first stopped playing. But after that, yeah, I'm actually not too sure.
I wanted to be, I think so, all the time tennis player, but when I was also very young, I was thinking about to play football, soccer, but my father was playing like a bit tennis, a little bit, but like amateur, and he wanted me to play, pushing me so much, but I also loved it, and yeah, I'm gonna play a few years more. If I'm not gonna play, let's say Grand Slam, not gonna make good money, I'm gonna quit and be a like tennis coach or something like this, but probably in tennis.
And who were your idols growing up?
My idol was Leighton Hewitt growing up.
Leighton Hewitt?
Yeah, I loved that one. Used to go to his matches at AO with like a big sign and Super Hewitt or something like that. Yeah, so he was my idol
Super
growing
Hewitt.
Up. Yeah.
When I was young, Roger, but let's say last, I don't know, 6-7 years, Novak.
Yeah, Novak. Sounds good. Congratulations on your win today.
Thank you.
I hope a safe trip home. You guys are going home after this, right?
Yeah, heading home at 4 a.m. or something. Got a flight.
Oh, you already have the flights booked?
Yeah. I was tight when it started raining this morning. I was like, God, if we get delayed, I'm in trouble.
Okay. And you're also going home?
Yeah, but they sold every possible tickets, and I have 9 p.m. tomorrow, so I need to wait here 1.5 day, and I have nothing to do.
Maybe we could do it. I'll pay for a lesson.
You can make some extra money, man.
100 rupees.
I'm not doing it for money. I can.
All right. Well, that concludes this brief but fun interview at the Tipsy Tennis Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Borak. We're here with Matthew Romeos from Australia. What's your rank right now? After this, maybe.
Actually, I'm not sure. I don't really check my ranking. I'll be like 130-ish.
130-ish? Okay.
Yeah, something
like this. He's a bit higher. He's a bit higher.
Top 100?
No. But higher than me, for sure.
He's gonna be like 120, me like 115, something like that.
He's the numbers man, so.
But still a lot of points we need. I don't know. Probably we need around 3 titles. So it's like 10, 15 positions, but like we need to make a lot of points still to be. Higher, which is not easy.
Good luck on your guys' journey.
Thank you.
Safe travels. And on the count of three, we're going to say stay tipsy.
All right.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Stay tipsy. Thank you.
Cheers.